The church's music from the 20th century. The 17th century. The 11th century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
The construction of Jesus was very similar to the construction of Robin Hood. What this person reflected was the wishes and desires of the people of the time.
In a sense, that's what Romophobia does. You're swinging your sword so hard at Rome that you're actually doing injury to your brother.
The more I advanced I was in science, and the more I studied it, and the more I asked questions, the more I kept running into this idea of storytelling.
You go to your grandmother's house, and you could say thank you all day. She'd never let you help with the dishes or pay her back for anything. But the thing that would really make her most happy is if you'd just take a little more of that green bean casserole.
In about an hour, we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week on this Friday afternoon, September the 6th. We'll play four soundbites. You heard just a taste of them there. And after you've listened to all four, it's your opportunity to vote for Soundbite of the Week and an opportunity to win the LPR bundle package. And I have Issues t-shirt and Issues Etc. travel mug, pen, bumper sticker, and notepad when we play Soundbite of the Week in about an hour from now. A regular guest on this program, Dr. Albert Mohler, was recently featured in an AP story on the event of his 20th anniversary as president of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, a prime opportunity for the AP to get the religion angle right and to get it well. But what came out was probably more cliche than good journalism. Joining us to talk about that and the Chicago Tribune story about women priests, Bobby Ross Jr. He's an Oklahoma City-based religion writer with 20 years of experience for secular and religious publications, including the Associated Press and the Christian Chronicle, and he's contributor to GetReligion.org. Bobby, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Oh, thanks for having me.
How big an influence you covering the religion beat do you think Dr. Albert Mohler has been?
Well, you know, I don't know that I would consider myself an expert on that. I do know that he, you know, he's a, you know, extremely prominent figure in name, and especially in Southern Baptist circles and evangelical circles, and certainly someone who's had a big influence and whose name would be recognized by a lot of people. You know, I don't know, you know, names like Rick Warren, Max Lucado, I don't know that he quite rises to that level as far as, you know, the culture in general recognizing his name, but he's certainly been an extremely influential person.
You called the recent attempt by the Associated Press to cover his 20th anniversary as president of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary feeble. Why?
Well, it was just one of those stories where it seemed to me like almost like the reporters and the editor got together and decided, you know, how many cliches and labels can we fit in one shallow report? I mean, you read the story and there's, you know, there's not much new there. There's not much insight. And then, you know, it regurgitates a lot of talking points. You know, it seems like too many stories. Well, you know, you read a story about Southern Baptist, and there's always a mention of where they stand on women, and they're losing members, and they don't support gay rights, and which, you know, are probably important things if you're going to do a full story. But to just kind of throw those mentions out there without a lot of context or opportunity for the source to kind of comment on them, to me, it just doesn't. You know, the story just comes across as a pretty cardboard cutout of the person you're trying to profile, as opposed to a real story with insight that, you know, that could take the story a little bit further down the road.
Well, you noted that term conservative was used seven times in the course of the coverage there. Was the term ever defined?
You know, it really wasn't defined, and I think, you know, I kind of raised an issue with that term being used so much, and to me, you know, to me it was overused and it was vague, and then some other people came back and said, but, you know, that's how Moeller and Southern Baptist would describe themselves, and, you know, and I guess that's true, that it, maybe it's accurate, but I think probably my frustration was just that it was just, it was almost like they threw that term out there rather than having to do some actual writing to explain what they meant. They just threw it out there kind of like a signpost, and, you know, here's this term, and everybody decide for yourselves what it means, instead of, you know, going a little bit below the surface to try to explain who Moeller is and what he's, what he believes and what he's done at this seminary for 20 years.
And what were your concerns in the AP coverage of Moeller about a connection that they apparently tried to make with the decline of the Southern Baptist Convention?
Well, the concern there is a concern I have a lot of times when I'm reading a story about the Southern Baptist Convention, and it you know, it goes into the concerns about it being a denomination in decline, which I don't dispute, and which is a fact. But to me, you have to put that into the bigger context of culture and society in general, and say, you know, we've got a culture that has become less, I guess, you know, denominations in general are having problems in the United States, and organized religion in general are having problems. So to kind of act like this is, you know, like the Southern Baptists are on their own little island and this is only happening to them, to me doesn't give a full enough picture. You have to put it in the bigger context of religion and Christianity in general in the United States.
So the context could have included something like the rapid decline of mainline Protestantism and then an attendant decline of denominational Christianity.
Right, you know, and even a mention of this Pew's findings about, you know, the rising number of young people who claim they have no religious affiliation at all, you know, some of that kind of information. You know, and I know you're dealing with a wire story and a finite number of words, but at the same time, I still, to me, that's a big enough area that you need to try to, you know, even if it's a sentence or two, kind of put it into the bigger picture.
Another concern that you had stems from a Chicago Tribune story covering women priests. In fact, it was a front page story, wasn't it?
Indeed, it was. It was a front page story about a 100-year-old nun, and kind of the angle that the Tribune took was that this sister was upset that the Catholic Church doesn't allow women to serve as priest, and kind of, you know, the whole story kind of focused around that, which, you know, and it was hard to tell whether that's all that the sister said in the interview or if that's what the Tribune chose to focus on. But, you know, the whole story, you know, it read like an editorial in favor of women priests, because, you know, there was nobody was quoted to on the other side explaining why the Catholics don't have women priests. It was, you know, just a one-sided treatment of it on the front page.
Okay, so give me some perspective here on that. What should it take for a story to make it to the front page of a paper, albeit, you know, newspapers have been in decline, but a paper as prominent as the Chicago Tribune? I mean, did this deserve, bottom line, to be on any paper's front page?
Well, you know, if I'm an editor and I've got a reporter who says, hey, there's a 100-year-old nun and she thinks women ought to be priests, I might say, well, yeah, let's do that story, and maybe it is a front-page story. But it's not, to me, it's not a front-page story until you tell the full story, at the point that it reads like an editorial and reads like that it's a simple open-and-shut case. It's not a story. But, you know, if you can get the sister who's turning 100 and, you know, have that unique angle of somebody who's been around the church that long saying, hey, I wish that the leadership would revisit this issue, that's great. But you've got to also go and talk to the bishop or priest or Catholic scholars on the other side and have them kind of respond to what she says. It's one of those things where, to me, a front page story on an issue like this, yeah, let's do a front page story, but let's do a good story, and let's at the end of the story, have me as the reader have to decide which side's arguments I want to go with, as opposed to me as the reporter deciding this is what I think. So I'm going to write a story where there's only one side told, and I give the readers the impression that there's not another side of the story.
Two final things on that. You've essentially said here that the editors should know the difference between a story and an editorial. Is that kind of
right.
your basic concern here?
Yeah, that's my concern. I mean, it's one of those things where there was a byline on the story. Then at the bottom of the story, they've got the writer's Twitter. I don't know what you call your Twitter profile. So I went to the page of the writer, and you know she's an intern at this paper. And then she's tweeting out. One of her tweets was need a new role model after Miley Cyrus. Try Sister Vivian, a rocking 100-year-old nun who's pushing for women priests. That, to me, that doesn't leave any doubt at all as far as where the reporter stands on who's right in this debate. And to me, that's not journalism. If you as a reporter are going to go out there and pick sides, but at the same time, that's an intern. So somebody in a bigger position should be teaching this young person the right way to do it, and I don't see any indication of that happening with this story.
Even had it appeared in the editorial section of the Chicago Tribune, should it still have attempted to get a voice on the other side of the debate?
I think that's maybe not. I mean, if it's an editorial, it's your opinion. I think that, you know, probably your better papers would be willing to get to accurately reflect both sides of an argument or a debate in an editorial, and then say this is why we believe this one side is right, you know, because you're willing to, you know, to me the best journalism is willing to give each side, or lots of times there's more than two sides, but give everybody an equal opportunity to make their best argument, and then the readers and everyone else can decide based on each side's best argument which one to side with or which one is the right one.
Bobby Ross Jr. is an Oklahoma City-based religion writer with 20 years of experience writing for secular and religious publications from the Associated Press to the Christian Chronicle, and he's a contributor to GetReligion.org. Bobby, thanks for being our guest.
Thanks for having me.
Well, when we come back, we're going to be talking a little Rams football here in St. Louis with Pro Football Hall of Fame cornerback Roger Worley, about 10 minutes with him talking about the season ahead for the St. Louis Rams. Then we'll talk with Pastor Charles St. Ange, part 3 of our series on Christianity and Science, and then it's Soundbite of the Week. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Redeemer Lutheran, Mandeville, Louisiana. Our Savior Lutheran, Whitefish Bay, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Louisville, Nebraska. Grace Lutheran, Warminster, Pennsylvania. Trinity Lutheran, Valonia, Indiana. Emmanuel Lutheran, Pensacola, Florida, St. Athanasius Lutheran, Vienna, Virginia, and Emmaus Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. IssuesETC.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Solid. Serious. Substantive. You're listening to Issues Etc. Hey, St. Louis. How would you like to achieve your fitness goals in a fun and supportive atmosphere? Hi. This is Kevin Reisick, owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. We offer adult boot camps throughout the week. These camps include cardiovascular conditioning, muscular strength and endurance training, balance and coordination activities, and more. For more information, give me a call at 618-670-6952, Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois, 618-670-6952.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. lcmsu. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.